From the City of Angels off the Pacific Ocean, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie. Welcome to Coast AM. Open lines this hour. And next hour, Dolores Cannon joins us. Nostradamus, some of his prophecies, and also past life regression. Hey, I hope you had an enjoyable Labor Day holiday. It's the last one you're going to have until Thanksgiving. It's hard to believe this year is just rolling along. Well, here we are. Hurricane Gustav, now a tropical storm, left more than 800,000 people in Louisiana without power, and it could take up to 2 weeks to restore it all. Seven deaths in the United States as a result of Hurricane Gustav. A private levee south of New Orleans was in danger of failing after a day of heavy rain and pounding storm surge from the hurricane. About 300 to 400 homes were in danger of flooding. And right behind it now, Hurricane Hanna could hit the southeastern portion of the United States by Friday, and Tropical Storm Ike is not far behind. As we've been talking about for several months now, the sun, of course, is spotless. It has no sunspots. The sun has reached a milestone now, not seen for nearly 100 years. An entire month has passed without a single visible sunspot being noted. The event is significant, as many climatologists now believe solar magnetic activity, which determines the number of sunspots, is an influencing factor on climate on Earth. On the coasttocoastam.com website, the feature story is about the Zodiac Killer, an incredible story. The Zodiac Killer attacked at least 8 people, terrorizing the San Francisco Bay Area and taunting police in the 60s and 70s. The FBI has now confirmed to a television station that they are now running laboratory tests on some items that may link a suspect to the killer. The evidence was given to the FBI by a man who claims he recently found the disguise worn by the Zodiac Killer during one of his attacks. The identity of the Zodiac Killer is Jack Terrence. He's my stepfather, said Dennis Kaufman. 8 years of Dennis Kaufman's life has been consumed with attempting to prove that the only father he's known since he was 5 years old is none other than the Zodiac Killer. Jack Terrence died in 2006. Kaufman said that while going through Terrence's belongings, he made some disturbing finds, including a knife still covered with what could possibly be dried blood. Jack also left behind rolls of underdeveloped film. Kaufman plans to hand over the film to the FBI. He says there are numerous gruesome images on a roll he did develop, and he says it appears to be people who were murdered. So that could be an incredible find. Republican National Convention planners are finalizing details for the schedule of speakers and events on Tuesday after the threat posed by Hurricane Gustav gutted the agenda on the convention's kickoff day in St. Paul, Minnesota. A source familiar with the schedule said the White House was making plans for President Bush to address delegates remotely sometime Tuesday. Alaska Governor Sarah Palin, the named GOP vice presidential candidate, has hired a private practice attorney to defend her in an investigation into the firing of her public safety commissioner. The legislature is investigating whether Palin fired public safety commissioner Walt Monaghan after he refused to fire a state trooper who had divorced her sister. And Sarah Palin has revealed that her 17-year-old daughter is pregnant. Mrs. Palin said in a statement her daughter, Bristol, would keep the child and was to get married. I've got to give Barack Obama credit for telling the media today this should not even be a political issue. This is a family issue, and he's right about that. Voiceover master, our friend Don LaFontaine, has died. Known as the King of Voiceovers, died Monday at 2:10 p.m. at Cedars-Sinai Medical Center here in Los Angeles. He passed away following complications from pneumothorax, the presence of air or gas in the pleural cavity, the result of a collapsed lung. Over the past 25 years, LaFontaine cemented his position as the King of Voiceovers. And aside from being the preeminent voice in the movie trailer industry, and you've heard him on almost all of them, Don has also worked as the voice of Entertainment Tonight and The Insider, as well as for CBS, NBC, ABC, Fox, UPN, in addition to TNT, TBS, and the Cartoon Network. By conservative estimates, he voiced hundreds of thousands of television and radio commercials, including spots for Chevrolet, Pontiac, Ford, Budweiser, McDonald's, Coke, and many other corporate sponsors. He was a guest on Coast to Coast a few years ago. We're going to play a portion of that interview late Friday night during the program. Authorities say a Michigan man survived after his hot air balloon plunged, get this now, thousands of feet at a South Carolina festival because the basket caught a tree limb 10 feet before it hit the ground. Man, somebody was watching over him. Great Southeast Balloon Fest officials say that the pilot, Chuck Walsh, broke his leg and pelvis, but has undergone surgery and is recovering. In Ohio, a Columbus, Ohio teenager was throwing eggs at cars as part of a late-night prank. He was shot in the head, killed. Police say the 16-year-old boy was with at least one other teenage boy in the backyard of a home when someone shot him in the head. Another Columbus teenager was killed in an egging incident in December 2006. A 14-year-old at the time then was shot after a group of boys he was with threw an egg at a car. No one has been charged in that case. In Australia, be wary when you are running and jogging, especially between kangaroos. A jogger has been taken to a hospital after he was attacked by a kangaroo. The man in his 50s was attacked after he apparently ran between a male and female kangaroo near his home. The female kangaroo went after him. He was able to get into a home, and they called for help. He was taken by ambulance to a hospital. He's in stable condition. He's got a gash on his head and claw marks all over his chest, arms, and hands. And on the coasttocoastam.com website under Hot Story, take a look at the picture of the six-legged bull. That's right. The owner of a six-legged bull in China is holding out for a higher price. He wants to sell the thing. And the price right now offered is $5,200. He thinks he can get more. The 18-month-old bull was born with two small extra legs on its back. Now, we've got open lines for you for the entire hour. Here are the phone numbers. West of the Rockies, 800-618-8255. East of the Rockies, 800-825-5033. First-time caller line is 818-501-4721. And here you go with the wild card line, 818-501-4109. I'm George Norrie, and this is Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, I'm George Norrie. Doesn't it seem right after Labor Day that the rest of the year just truly flies by? I mean, another couple months, we're into Thanksgiving, then Christmas, and then we're back to the first of the year again, and on it goes. Let's go to our first-time caller line. We've got Mary Jo in Ohio. Hello there.
Hello, George. This Hi. Is Mary Jo. The reason I've never called you before is because, to be honest, I rather listen. I love listening to Coast. I've listened to Art Bell for many, many years when he was married to Ramona, and before when she got sick, and God only knows all. But like I said, I love listening to you. You're great, and I love Art Bell. But the thing I wanted to call you tonight is about in June, it was, I believe, of 1999, one night I was laying in bed, okay, me and my husband, and I was going to bed because I had to get up the next day to go to work. And I had my eyes closed, but I had the oddest feeling that came over me like somebody is in the room or in the house. And I mean, I knew my husband was there, but it's only me and my husband, but it's something different than that, just a weird feeling.
You knew it, and though. You could feel it.
Right. So I opened my eyes, and I looked, and at the bottom of the bed was these three, what the people say is grays or whatever.
All right.
They had, it's like, They didn't talk, but you could. I don't know how to explain it.
It's telepathy, Mary Jo.
Understand what they were saying.
They think it.
Right. Just by read, like they could read your mind, and I could read them, but yet their mouth wasn't moving. As far as that, I don't remember ever seeing a mouth on them. I don't remember seeing a nose. I don't remember seeing ears. All I remember, they had this odd-shaped head. I mean, it was like an, I guess, what you see, if you ever seen that movie, The Autopsy.
Oh, sure.
Okay. and how they talk about that Roswell. Well, this is, but these was real little people.
What did they want with you, Mary Jo?
God only knows, but they was like the size of small kids. And I remember their eyes being so big, and they was real dark and that. And they, you couldn't, like, they wasn't wearing clothes. And the other thing about them is that you couldn't tell if it was male or female. You know, they had no signs of what sex gender they was, and their arms were so long. I mean, they was...
Sounds like the perfect alien grays, except, you know, they could be robots. You know that.
No, these dudes, I mean, they're like something I've never seen before. But the thing was, I wasn't scared. I was more curious, but I wanted to try to keep my mind blank for some reason. Like, I didn't want them to read my mind, and I wanted to get my husband's attention to tell him, hey, hon, look at this.
Why didn't you wake him up?
And he was laying right next to me, but I could not move.
Uh-huh.
I tried to get my husband, you know, I just wanted to squeeze his hand or pinch him or something that he would turn over or say, what's wrong? Or why did you do that for? Or something. But, I mean, there's no way I could not move my leg.
Well, what finally happened, Mary Jo? Did they take you away or what?
Well, what happened is, like, the one started to get up on the bed. You could feel him, like how you can tell when kids are crawling on the bed.
Yeah, sure.
I could feel him getting on the bed. But as he got closer to me, he more like disappeared. He got to about where my stomach was. And I could tell he was still on the bed. But all of a sudden, it was like he entered into my body. I didn't see him do it, but I felt him. I could feel something moving around inside of me.
Yikes.
But how or what, I don't know how he did it. You know, it's like,
their science is so far advanced. They do things that we have no idea.
All of a sudden, then he got out, and he more like communicated he was going to. He didn't get to yet, to say something to these other ones that was down there that looked just like this dude. And all this time, I'm wanting to get Maha, and all I could think of, just squeeze my husband's hand, because, like, I either put my arm around him or I do this or something, and I couldn't do nothing. I had no, you know, and...
Well, what finally happened? Did they leave you?
What finally happened is there was these three guys. They come from my living room, walk through the hall, and into the kitchen.
What do you mean, three guys?
They was like a different type of aliens. They looked exactly like them. But these dudes was real tall. I mean, like about three times the size of these ones that was, and they just looked in like.
Well, they weren't taking black suits, were they? Well, maybe they were. Hey, Mary Jo, I got to take a few more calls before the break. Sounds like you're okay, though, at least. Chuck in Fairbanks, Alaska, west of the Rockies. Hey, Chuck, what's up?
Hey, not much. I just was going to tell you about here in Alaska, people are real excited about our governor getting nominated. She's really won the heart of a lot of Alaskans.
What can you tell us about her? Because
she's not too well known. When she got elected, I liked her and everything. I didn't really know much about her. But what endeared her to people here is, as you know, most Alaskans are pretty independent folks. And
we've
been really influenced by the oil companies and the good old boys that have been in politics a long time. And she really shook things up. Right after she got in the office, the last governor bought a jet to fly around in, and she sold that on eBay. She fired the chef. She said, my family can cook our own food, you know. And then the thing that is really shown that she has what it takes is, you know, for 30-some years, they've been talking about building the gas line, the natural gas line. And the oil companies have tried to keep it off the market, I guess, to keep the price up. And she said, well, let's just put it out to bid. And she went through the process, and just a year and a half, she's accomplished this. And it's been a great feat. It's actually preoccupied a lot of other stuff. But it's out to bid, and they're starting on it.
Do you think, Chuck, she's presidential material?
Oh, she's amazing. But she's an every person. She's like your neighbor down the street, and I think she is. I think she's a whole lot more presidential material than the top guy on the Democratic side. She's just
than Biden's the vice presidential nod.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know anything about Biden, but
well, he's been around the Senate for a long time.
But Alaskans. I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of people that don't like her, but overwhelmingly, I think she's got like an 85% approval rating up here.
Gutsy move by McCain.
Well, I'm excited. I don't know who's going to win. It's a horse race. It's going to be an interesting thing. But we're looking for. You know, whatever happens, I hate to see her go, but if she does get elected, I'm sure she'll do
it. Well, we'll see what happens. It is no doubt a gutsy move by John McCain. I think already a quick poll shows that just from the Democratic convention, Obama and Biden got a 8% bump ahead of McCain right now. So we'll see what happens. It's going to be an interesting race. It's only a few months to go. Next up, Albert in Ohio, east of the Rockies. Hey, Albert, go ahead.
Yes, how you doing?
Good.
This is Albert from Cleveland, Ohio. Yeah, me and my friend my friend's girlfriend were driving down Ridge Road in Parma, Ohio, suburb of Cleveland, Ohio. A woman was basically walking down the street like she was a zombie. I'm not even making this up. Later, we stopped her, and she was sleepwalking. She had been sleepwalking, and I have a question for you. Do people usually sleepwalk with their eyes open? Was her eyes
yes.
were open when
yes.
she walked native?
Yes, some of them do, Albert. Now, tell me, did she have pajamas on or what?
She had socks and marks on her legs, and she was walking. I mean, she said she was on a lot of pills, and she sleepwalked a lot and stuff like that. But she almost got hit. We actually almost hit her. I mean, Cleveland's a weird place. I mean, you're not missing much.
So what did you guys do with her? Did you call the police?
No, we actually woke her up, and she walked back home.
And off she went. Yeah, they do. They do sleepwalk with their eyes open, though.
Yeah.
That does happen a lot. That's got to be strange, huh? To be able to do things like that, and you have no idea where you are or what you're doing. I've never sleepwalked. Of course, I don't remember if I did or not. Let's go to Bradley driving around in Indiana. Hey, Bradley, go ahead.
Hey, George, how you doing?
Good.
I would just like to finally, I get to, after all these years, speak to you in person. I just want to tell you, thank you so much for being a friend of the great American truck driver.
You're welcome.
There's not many people out there that don't look down their nose at most of us, and I've been listening to you guys for about 7 years, and because of the subject matter on Coast to Coast, I feel better educated. I feel like my human spirituality beliefs have changed. I've started researching into the occult and to the hidden and the riddles of life and that sort of thing. And being a newsman, I wanted to give you a little bit of a riddle.
Okay.
No matter where you are on the planet, where does the news, N-E-W-S, come from? It comes from the north, the east, the west, and the south. News is an acronym.
I love it.
And I wanted to say I kind of live vicariously through you every night when I listen to you on the show and enjoy the subject matter. And if you ever want to live vicariously through the great American over-the-road truck driver, go to hammerdowntruck.net, and I've put a bunch of cool trucking videos up there for you.
You got it. Thanks, Bradley. I was just interviewed by Truckers Magazine. As soon as it comes out, we'll post it on the coasttocoastam.com website. But it goes out to close to 200,000 truck drivers all around the country. And I had a great time. It was a fun interview. And let me tell you something about truck drivers. Next time you're in a car, appreciate them. Even though those big trucks might go a little too slow for you and you feel like passing them and pulling out, just remember one thing. These guys are safe drivers. They're trying to get to where they need to go, delivering goods that keep America going. They're good people. I'll be back in a moment. Open lines continue on Coast to Coast AM. Well, next hour, Dolores Cannon joins us. She is an expert on Nostradamus and his prophecies. We'll also talk about past life regressions as well. Should be one of those classic coast-to-coast shows. Here we go. Open lines for the rest of the hour. Let's go to east of the Rockies in Jacksonville, Florida. Ian, welcome to the show. Hey, Ian.
Hey, George. Good to talk to you.
Thank you.
I got to say, every time I hear you come on after the entrance music, I always get excited. Well, I had two things. I had a story about a ghost in Jacksonville. I lived downtown in Riverside. So the house was built in like 1925 or so. And I was living with my girlfriend at the time, the one who actually told me about Coast to Coast.
All right, for her. You still with her?
No.
Oh, well. But the show continues.
And there's two incidents that led up to something and confirmed my belief of it. The first thing happened, me and her were sitting in the living room, and a loaf of bread flew across the kitchen, which is like catty corner to our living room. And we got up and inspected it and couldn't find any reason that could have happened. It was on the counter. And the next thing that happened was we had a plate of like macaroni and cheese sitting in the sink, and my girlfriend left a fork in it or something. And it was like something came up and swatted the fork, like catapulted some macaroni and cheese across the room.
Jeez.
And the fork hit the floor. And then our cat ran in from a different room and ran right up to it and started eating it, which we thought was weird, too. And the next thing that happened, I was lying in bed one morning, and I have a cat and a dog, and I'd just gotten up and laid back down, and I felt my cat jump on my bed and kind of run around for a minute, and then she jumped on my chest. And I remember thinking it felt like it did when she was a kitty. And I opened my eyes and nothing was there. So that freaked me out. I jumped up and it jumped off. And I inspected my room, and my cat wasn't in my room. She was in the next room sleeping. And from then on, I figured I maybe had a ghost cat or something. And then one night I heard Marianne, the Ghostbuster, right?
Right.
And she talked about some castle she went to, and there was a bunch of cats, like ghost cats she saw. So you got me thinking about it, and I don't know. I think cats are really interesting creatures.
So you now a believer, Ian?
Oh, for sure, for sure. And I just thought I always, you know, should call in after I heard her story, you know?
Over the weekend, a friend of mine called me with a similar story that that you just had. His daughter has been seeing some kind of strange apparition in their house. Now his wife is starting to see shadows in the house. So we sent him some sage to burn, and hopefully that will mitigate some of the problems. But he wants to get Marianne there at the house and get her to cleanse the place, because he said it's truly the most haunted, in a friendly way. He doesn't feel threatened, and nobody's been threatened, but there's definitely something there, and it's too edgy for him. Because I told him, his name's Robert, and I said, Robert, just live with it. And I don't think he wants to. Patrick, Knoxville, Tennessee. Hey, Patrick, how are you?
Good, sir. How are you?
Well, your team lost to UCLA today, huh?
My team. I'm from Florida originally.
All right. My team's
University of Miami.
You got it.
The Gators, baby, the Gators. Listen, the reason why I was calling, I have two issues. I'm a new time listener. I've been listening to you, I guess, for about 5 months, and you've caught my attention on one of them, is the chemtrails.
Yes.
And when I heard you talk about it and some of your guests, I started looking up in the skies, and I would see this crisscross motion with these C-130s, or they look like refueling planes flying out of McGee Tyson here. And it seems like the next day it clouds over. We get a bad overcast for a couple of days.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's like we don't get a clear day anymore.
No, not at all. And people around here are noticing that, and it's been going on for about 5 months. And I'm thinking it's because we kicked up Oak Ridge again.
That's a good point.
I don't know if you're familiar with Oak Ridge, but they were doing, you know, a lot of experimental stuff on bombs and so forth. And I'm thinking maybe they're trying to put an overcast, because I'm sure we're sharing satellites with other countries, and they don't want other countries to see.
Well, you know, Patrick, that is one of the that is beginning to become one of the great reasons for chemtrails as a cloud covering to keep satellites from spying on certain regions around the country.
Right. And that's how I feel.
Yeah, that's you're very perceptive.
That's not the reason why I called, though.
Okay.
I just wanted to mention that. The reason why I called was I was listening to one of your other guests about aliens.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had this thought a long time. I don't buy into it, but I just thought it was an entertaining thought that maybe there's a galactic war way out there in the universe, and they took all the different species, the Indians, the red man, the black man, the white man, the Asian man, and they took them from either planets because they're having such a terrible war out there. They brought us to Earth to see if we could ever get along. So they never want to interfere with us. They just want to watch us to see if we can promote peace amongst ourselves so that they may have a chance of surviving out there.
It's not working, though. It's not working. Thanks, Patrick. Christina in Alaska, west of the Rockies. Hello, Christina.
Yes, I'm on a cell phone, and my charge is going down, so I'm going to do this quickly.
Okay.
You had a lady on from Florida who was selling her house, and she was looking for a husband.
Yes.
Yes. And I will be married 2 years, the 17th of October.
Well, congratulations.
And I did that. I had the house on the market for sale, and I was alone, divorced for 22 years. And I was really praying that the Lord would let me find somebody. And my husband came out to buy the house, and we were ready to sign all the papers, and he was doing the final walkthrough on it. And we were walking down the road, and I said, you know, if you wanted to marry me, we wouldn't have to sign all these papers. You're a Christian, aren't you? And I know you're not married. And he said, yes, I've been praying about that. And we were married.
Man.
10 days later, that was... We went down the following day and got a marriage license, and 10 days later, we were married.
That's love at first sight, isn't it?
That was a very compatible, he calls it, what does he call it? having the same mindset.
Well, listen, when it clicks, Christina, it clicks, and you know it.
We are both Christians, and we get along very well together. And now we have the house on the market for sale again, and we're planning to move from here together, but we'll be together forever.
Well, good for you. Glad that worked out. Yeah, she's not having the kind of success as you did. She's having a rough time finding someone to buy the house and to get her.
Oh, yeah? Well, you got to find exactly the right person, and I did. This guy wasn't married, and I knew he was a Christian, and I had been trying to meet him for probably 4 years before, and we would bump into each other, but we never connected. So when he came out to buy the house, I said, that's my last chance.
Well, you see,
I'm moving from here.
These things work in mysterious ways. Nick, truck driving along in Indiana. Hey, Nick, go ahead.
Hey, George, a couple of things for you real quick.
Sure.
The first thing, I didn't actually mention this before, but I have sort of a theory about the sleep paralysis thing.
Yeah.
You know how you had been talking about out-of-body experiences and that sort of
mm-hmm,
thing?
Mm-hmm.
It makes me wonder if maybe it isn't the idea that when the body or when the soul is coming back into the body, that a person's consciousness is actually coming back in before the rest of them does. And that's why they can be aware of the fact that they're awake, but that they can't move.
Yep, very possible.
They're not all the way back in yet.
Yep.
And it's just a theory. But at any rate, the thing that I called about originally was, this is actually kind of silly, but...
Hey, Nick, nothing silly on this show. You know that.
Well, you know, I had been following the whole Bigfoot hoax and all that sort of thing, and I just thought, you know, this is going to make it impossible if anybody actually ever does find something. And I just thought, you know, if this creature or anything else just, you know, crawled into my backyard and died, nobody in the world would believe me because of all this stuff going on now. So, I mean, if he ever did find something, what would be the a good procedure to...
Well, the first thing you do is you call your major university, okay, and get the life sciences department and get somebody out to study this, to pick it up, and to take this creature. You know, don't put it in the hands of anybody else. And then get law enforcement out there as well. But go the professional way. You know, get the scientists, get the university people out there. They're not going to fool around.
Well, I mean, okay, but I mean, like, how do you, I mean, and here again, I don't really honestly expect this to ever happen, but I mean, how do you convince somebody that you're not some sort of kook, you know, that, I mean, yes, I have this 800-pound thing in my backyard, I can't even move it, let alone, you know, bring it to you.
Well, I guess the first thing you say is, you know, there's something dead in my backyard, it looks like an animal to me, come on out here, would you please, I don't know what it is. I think they'll come out under that basis. I mean, if you call them right away and say you've got a dead Bigfoot in the backyard, I don't think they're going to jump up and down.
Yeah, I mean, who's this kook? Yeah, whatever. So, yeah, I was just kind of curious. Yep. It seemed like kind of an odd thing to have to logistically take care of, you know.
And it's unfortunate that these three clowns, did what they did on this hoax. Let's go to you, Jason, Wildcard Line in Virginia. Hey, Jason.
Yeah. How you doing? It's a pleasure to talk to you.
Thanks.
Crazy story. Well, I don't know if it's crazy, but a little bit weird. I had back surgery about a month ago, and... surgery went well.
Good.
I had a problem with the anesthesia. I didn't wake up for 3 days. And when I woke up, I had all these flood of memories, and I wasn't sure what was real and what was dream. So well, let me just jump back. When I was about 5 years old, I fell into a deep end of a pool of our next-door neighbors. And my uncle was looking out the window and saw it. So he, you know, out naturally ran out there to save me. But as I'm at the bottom of this pool, I'm having a full... blowing conversation with a little girl, breathing, talking. I mean, it was, you know, and okay. A week after that, but when he pulled me out of the pool, I said, "How about her? How about her, Uncle Greg?" And he's like, "There's nobody there, Jason. It's just, you know, it's just you." And then he talked it up. Yes, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Oh, and so a week later, I saw another similar incident. I'm on top of my bunk bed, talking to this little girl, and I say, "I want you to meet my parents. I want you to meet my parents." I'm like, "Mom, Dad, Mom, Dad." And, you know, it's like 2 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah,
3 o'clock
yeah.
in the morning. They come running into the room, nobody there. Okay, I just forgot. Now I'll be 38 in October, and I'm having these memories. So I asked my mom, you know, did this really happen? And she's like, yes, it really happened. We were so worried about you. We made you go talk to a priest, and we were raised Catholic. So so I'm like, wow, and it was this little girl's name Kathy, because I'm having my mother's face turned so white.
Uh-oh.
You know, because apparently I was a twin, and she had died at birth. And
amazing.
Yeah, and I never knew this a month ago.
You're giving me chills.
Yeah, it's freaking me out, too. I can hardly talk right now. And, it's really freaking me out. So my next step is going to be, and I'm not a skeptic. I've always been a believer, and I'm going to start meditating more. And
yeah, well, that'll help. I mean, go into this with an open mind. I mean, don't go in saying I don't believe, and don't go in saying I believe. Just go in with an open mind, and then, you know, these doorways begin to open up for you.
Oh, I firmly believe in all that, and like I said, I'm not on either end of the coin. I take it for what it is, and then I do my own research and look into it. But it really, you know, kind of freaking me out.
Hey, Jason, when you were under anesthesia for 3 days, did they think you were in a coma?
Yeah, they were worried about it at first, and when I finally came out, they didn't want to tell me. But I I mean, apparently.
What if it had been 30 years?
Yeah. Well, yeah, I guess I would have met all my grandkids, too.
My God. What would you have done? Mike, did you think about that for a moment? They put you under, and all of a sudden you wake up, and you think it's yesterday, and it was 30 years had gone by.
Yeah, I have a 2-year-old son, a single dad. That would have been something, huh?
How old are you now?
I'll be 38 in October.
Okay, so they wake you up and you're 68 years old. Well, I guess you make the best out of it, huh?
I mean, that's how you get it before even here. I mean, maybe I'll be lucky to stay under that long if we're not going to be around much longer anyway.
Well, you know, I have a theory, Jason. You live every day like it's your last and enjoy it.
Yes, sir.
Every day.
I appreciate it. Thank you for your
time. Okay, my friend. Trucking in Indiana, we've got you, Brian. Hey, Brian, go ahead.
Hello. Hey, George. I've been listening to your show forever. It's the first time I called.
Well, thank you.
I want to I was going to say, I want to thank you for the program. You give us something to keep awake with every night. But anyway, I was listening just a moment ago to one of your callers talking about sleepwalking.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, you know, back about 5 years ago, I used to practice something called Raja Yoga, which is similar to Hatha, but it's more of the study of the mind rather than of the body. And with me being a little bigger and all that, I'm able to practice Raja Yoga better.
Okay.
Anyway, when I started practicing it and getting better with it, I started sleepwalking real bad, to the point that I would have conversations with my wife at the time that I wouldn't remember.
That's dangerous.
Oh, yeah. And they weren't, you know, just simple conversations, I guess, to hear her say. They were kind of in-depth. And I would cook food and leave it out on the stove and go back upstairs and go right back to bed. And it'd be a full meal just sitting there. And the reason why I stopped Raja Yoga, though, was for some odd reason, my youngest daughter, after I started doing it, she started sleepwalking and would open up the front door and walk out the front door.
That's dangerous.
Right. And so I stopped practicing it, and she stopped sleepwalking. So I'm not sure if there's a connection there with the subconscious and spilling out to other people or not, but it's definitely something different there.
Did you find if she was doing her sleepwalking during full moons a lot?
I don't think so. She was doing her sleepwalking more on a constant basis. It was like every other night or every night. And she was capable of, well, we lived in a two-story apartment, and she was able to go down the stairs and unlock the deadbolt, and she was only like 3 or 4 years old.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, it was scary, really, because the first time we'd seen her do it, she was all the way out to the sidewalk. And it just dumbfounded us. We could not believe that she was capable of doing it. And we'd pick her up, and she would immediately start screaming because, I guess, by us picking her up, it woke her out of her sleep.
And she had no idea where she was.
Uh-uh. No clue.
Gosh, you're lucky you got to her. Thanks. Quick call, driving in California. Steve, I got about a minute for you. Go ahead.
Hello.
Hi, go ahead, Steven.
Yeah, I'm just curious. I never heard you say anything about this before, but I was going south on I-5 by Orland and taking an off-ramp on Highway 32, and this blue ball of flame coming at me. Looked like about 20-foot diameter, had a roaring noise, real bright blue. And I followed it to the left of my left window of my door, and it landed in Reading. It was on the news when I got home. I turned the TV on, and it did hit an orchard.
Yeah, that's tonight?
No, this was years ago.
Oh.
And they never found it. I've never heard anybody call in and talk about this kind of thing before, but since that time, I've had 6 major surgeries on my face for cancer.
Gee, so you have some kind of radiation burn.
Well, yeah, I've never heard anybody call in and talk about
it. How weird.
Like that.
Well, this flame that shot past you, I mean, could it have been a rocket? Or did it look like a craft, or did it just go by too fast?
It was round in mass, and it was large, like 20 foot or so, I guess. It was so fast, but it was going slow enough that I could hear it. I could see it as it went by the windshield of my side window.
But I don't think it was a meteorite. And that leaves us with a few other possibilities, if you know what I mean. I'll be back in a moment with Dolores Cannon on Coast to Coast AM.